giving God the glory and the praise and the honor for Dr. Billy Graham on this Sunday morning, and who lifted up the Son of God, Jesus Christ, a country boy, a Baptist, by the way, from a farm near Charlotte, North Carolina, preached the gospel to more people face to face than anybody in the history of the world. The greatest evangelist of all time, besides the Apostle Paul. We're going to continue his message that he preached so long ago, titled Prayer, the Power Behind the Life and Preaching of Billy Graham. Of course, we added the latter part, but prayer, the power of prayer behind the life and preaching of Billy Graham, part two. This is a part of our Praying Through the Bible series that we started on Wednesday night. And as some of you know, I took a little break after preaching pretty much straight through November, December, January, and on into February without a break. And but after the 40-day fast, God gave me peace and liberty to take a break. It just so happened that as soon as I finished that 40-day fast, the greatest evangelist of all time, by the grace of God, died the next day. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, praise, and honor. How you lift up men to do great things. You call on men at certain times in history to be prophets and evangelists. And we thank you for your servant, Billy Graham, who by your grace was faithful till the very end. You blessed him with an extraordinary life. We can only imagine the great homecoming it was when he passed over on to the other side. But I can imagine that it was a huge welcome home. And as you would do for any saint, but we thank you for this saint, Dr. Billy Graham. And so, Holy Father God, we individually, all of us, confess our sins, for we're still living in this sin-cursed world. Forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Empty us of ourselves, crush and crucify our flesh, for we are still tempted in this sin-cursed world. And fill us with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. And Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, from this meeting, from your people, from everybody's mind, help us not to get distracted. And Lord, I like how this television personality likes to say, evidently, periodically, don't get distracted. Lord, help us to be people who don't get distracted. Help us not to be bamboozled. Help us not to be tricked. Help us not to be fooled into getting our hearts and minds off of you. Help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed upon you, no matter how difficult the times, no matter how fast-paced the times, no matter how many moving parts, and no matter what is going on, life and death, all at the same time. Lord, help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you. And Lord, even though this is Dr. Billy Graham's message of many years ago, we pray that you would grant us afresh and anew your anointing, your unction in the power of your Holy Spirit. You amaze us with that. I don't know how you keep doing it, but you do it. And we thank you for the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, because in truth we cannot function without unction. We do need your unction from on high to preach your holy gospel and to preach your holy word. We pray for lost souls to be saved, Christians to be revived, your holy name glorified, and Satan horrified every day of his existence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Dr. Billy Graham once said that when he got to heaven, he wanted to ask God, "Why me?" And by the way, all people used by God have a similar mentality. It's a very humble mentality. "Why me, Lord?" He said, "Why did you choose a farm boy from North Carolina to preach to so many people, to have such a wonderful team of associates, and to have a part in what you were doing in the latter half of the 20th century?" Billy Graham can ask his question now because he is on the other side. But we know that one of the reasons why God used Billy Graham is because he didn't trust in himself or his abilities. He got his power and his strength in preaching and leadership through prayer to God Almighty. He was a man of prayer. He encouraged all of his associates to be people of prayer. He insisted in every campaign that people would pray for weeks on end before the crusade. And so, beloved, in light of his great impact that God blessed him to have, allow me to continue sharing with you from his message titled "Power When You Pray." Power when you pray. From one end of the Bible, he says, to the other is the record of those whose prayers have been answered. Those who turned the tide of history by prayer. Those who fervently prayed and God answered. Abraham prayed, and so long as he prayed, God did not destroy the city of Sodom, where Abraham's nephew Lot lived. Hezekiah prayed when his city was threatened by the invading armies of the Assyrians under the leadership of Sennacherib. The entire army of Sennacherib was destroyed, and the nation was spared for another generation because the king had prayed. Amen, somebody. Elijah prayed, and God sent fire from heaven to consume the offering on the altar he had built in the presence of God's enemies. Elisha prayed, and the son of the Shunammite woman was raised from the dead. Jesus prayed at the door of the tomb of Lazarus, and the one who had been dead for 4 days came forth. The thief on the cross prayed, and Jesus assured him that he would be with him in paradise. Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Paul prayed and churches were born in Asia Minor and in Europe. Peter prayed and Dorcas was raised to life to have added years of service for Jesus Christ. John Wesley, the horseback riding evangelist, prayed and revival came to England. Jonathan Edwards prayed and revival came to New England, where thousands of people joined the churches, helping to spark the first great awakening. History has been changed time after time because of prayer, and it could be changed again if people went to their knees in believing prayer. When the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray," the Savior answered by giving them his model petition. The Lord's Prayer, however, that was only part of his sacred instruction. In scores of passages, Jesus Christ offered further guidance, and because he practiced what he preached, his whole life was a series of lessons on prevailing prayer. Jesus had only 3 years of public ministry, yet he was never too hurried to spend hours in prayer. A woman once wrote me, Billy Graham said, saying that she had been pleading for 10 years for the conversion of her husband, but that he was more hardened than ever. Billy Graham said he advised her to continue to plead, continue to pray. Then sometime later, I heard from her again. She said that her husband was gloriously and miraculously converted in the 11th year of her praying. Suppose she had stopped praying after only 10 years. Our Lord frequently prayed alone, separating himself from every earthly distraction. I would urge you to select a room or corner in your home where you can regularly meet alone with God. That quiet, secluded soul to God praying in which you come to the mercy seat can be your greatest blessing in life. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your mercy, your love and grace upon all of us. We thank you for the precious blood of Christ. We thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which your servant Billy Graham preached about to more people than anyone in history, by your power, by your might, by your energy, by your strength, and by your grace. And we thank you for this message that he left behind for us. No doubt one of the most important messages that he has left behind for us, and that is we as your people need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray always. We need to take heed to your holy word, Lord Jesus, when you gave a parable to this end, to this purpose and to this aim, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What a legacy that you have blessed him to leave behind, a legacy of prayer. And so, Lord, help us to be men and women, boys and girls, who will pray until our last day for your glory, praise, and honor, for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, before I leave you, beloved, if you're with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sins. We have funeral homes because of sin. We have graveyards. We pass by them every day. They're more hidden now than they used to be. But there are graveyards on your way to work every day that we pass by. They're there because of sin. Our soul goes to hell because of sin. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad and awful place of gnashing of teeth and pain, fire and heat, darkness, and an agonizing, torturing memory. And by the way, beloved, nothing can torture you like memory. You don't want to go to hell. That's bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, the same one who preached on hell, is the same one who tells you how to be saved from hell. In fact, he provided everything you need to not go to hell. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on the cross for your sins and mine. He was buried and rose again. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, your sins and mine. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to save your soul today, and he will save you. And if God can save me, he can save you. Here's how I got saved. Romans 10:9 and 13 in the Word of God says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God have raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever, that means anybody at any time, black, white, red, or yellow, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're willing to get saved today by believing on Christ, I'm willing to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer that helps seal the deal when you call on the name of the Lord to be saved. And just repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner. I know that I'm not perfect. I admit that I have sinned against you in your sight by telling lies, by stealing things that don't belong to me, by lusting after and coveting people and things, dishonoring my parents, and other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe with all of my heart that He died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit today and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow You in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for His sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you're now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, until our next service, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good.